Aerovision, Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Eurovision podcast, Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast. We are back. This is the post-mortem of Eurovision 2025. It is over, it is done, it is dead. Some may say it was nearly dead, but we'll get into that this episode, thank God. But we are back, we are reunited. It is like the Oasis reunion of the summer. We are getting the band back together to talk about Eurovision 2025.
Feuding.
I hope not. But yeah, it is going to be a bumper episode. It's a two-part episode, lads. Part one and part two, because we've just got so much to talk about over the next 2 hours, really. So this is part one of this episode, and part two will be landing very, very soon. And some big news, but we can finally confirm that we are now available on Go Loud, which is very exciting for our podcast, milestone for us. So you can listen to us on the Go Loud app or wherever else you get your podcasts, as usual. But yeah, Go Loud is now home to the Eurovision podcast.
Yeah.
Very, very nice, lads.
Yeah, not too bad. Fairly
not too bad now for Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
It's a real honour. Like, I love Go Loud. I listen to so many different Go Loud podcasts. And yeah, great to be part of the Go Loud community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'll see more of what that brings over the next few months, and particularly in the new season coming in September. But we're going to finish the days on a high of joining the Go Loud family, which is great.
Woo, woo, woo.
Exciting times. How are you guys doing? How's life?
Still catching up on some sleep, I won't lie. Feel like it's a constant thing. How are you? Tired. We're all very tired on the Eurovision podcast. I love that you say post-mortem. Post-mortem?
Post-mortem.
Thank you. Can tell I'm rusty on the mic. Yeah, that makes it all sound very grim. The graveyard of results.
Some will say it was quite grim at points. But
the graveyard of Eurovision 2025.
It nearly was, lads. It nearly was.
Can't believe it's been and gone. Sure, every May just flies by, doesn't it? But it's always nice to have a new set of results to sink our teeth into. Alex Basil Maddie, as I was calling you.
Which I love, by the way. Can we just keep it like that?
How did we only think of that during Eurovision week as well? Gas.
I know, and we should have discussed it more because I should have just changed my name. By the way, obviously when I was in Basel, I did like a couple of media appearances, and in them, I in some cases decided to use my real name. And there was a lot of confusion online when they saw Alex Rice being put on the screen. And I would like to say, Alex Basmati isn't my real name, guys.
That is like a season finale, like shocker. People are going to be like,
it's
what?
It's the final review episode. Like, now is a good time.
No more Louise Catherine, no more Alex Basmati.
No.
They're in the graveyard with the post-mortem that Connor's on about.
No, the rice is still ricing. The Basmati is still on the boil. But like, I just need people to know. I think people were confused then, thinking like, I just decided to remix my name on RT News there, like at one point.
When you go to Italy, are you Alex Pasta?
Oh, what's like a good
Alex
name?
Alex Fusely.
Yeah,
Alex Spaghetti. But how was Basel anyway?
Full detour between the passes of Europe. Like,
Basel was basling. It was great. I have a few like key notes here just to keep me on track so I don't go like off on too many tangents. As a host city, I would say it was very calm. It was very quaint. It really felt very Swiss. And I think it's what we needed. Right up until literally felt like the last evening was the most chaotic it was because of the results, which we'll get onto. But as a host city, they really embraced it, I have to say. Like, even the karaoke tram, for example, that was completely free. That was done by the city of Basel. Yeah, I just felt people really embraced it. Even guys like in all of the restaurants, or if you went into like a hotel reception, all of the workers in Basel had a little pin that said, I'm a friend of Eurovision, which was just like really sweet. And even people who maybe aren't...
Turin could never, honestly.
Turin could never, exactly. Like, but even that, you just felt like they really embraced it. All of the little shops, all of the places had Eurovision stuff going on. So yeah, Basel as a host city... Would recommend, definitely that. Would be worth going for like a weekend maybe. Very beautiful with the Rhine River, obviously. My next on my notes is Alex bumping into acts this year, which I think needs its own section.
I love how you talk about yourself yeah, in the third person.
In third person, Basmati meets Theo Evan in an elevator. How much time have we got? With
Theo Evan, it's only what, 5 minutes into the episode?
Yeah, I'm ready for this content now. Yeah. Luke, I'm sad.
I'm just going to direct this at Luke, guys. Okay.
She's not even looking at me.
I'm not even
Theo
looking
Evan
at Connor.
It's a Theo Evan fan club over here, yeah.
So the fan club, okay, this is our fan club section, okay, yeah, of the podcast.
Yeah.
This
is going to be a regular segment now. Yeah. Along with Kieran,
we can check in with Theo Evan every episode. How's he getting on? Okay, so I can now reveal an exclusive that I wasn't able to up until this episode. Ooh. Because I wasn't going to dox anyone. But I can reveal that for 2 days, I was in the same hotel as Theo Evan was staying in. And when I tell you, when I was checking out, I went to go press the button. I was looking absolutely horrid. I had no makeup on. I was hungover. I turn around. And who on his own is in the elevator on the sixth floor? Girls, it was bloody Theo Evan. My favourite.
And she pounced on him.
And I said, Theo, do you mind if I get in there? And he said, yes.
He said, I don't swing that way.
Sorry, Theo. Sorry. But yeah, no, I did say, oh,
you
is that
Theo Evan for 3 days?
No, I didn't.
We just say our group chat every few minutes? Oh, lads, I just saw Theo Evan's team. Oh, I just saw Theo Evan.
And I was loving it.
I said, yeah, I know you were, but like, Jesus, I was like, leave him alone.
Yeah, so then, you know, I did meet him like the next day, and then I met him at the turquoise carpet. It was a great weekend. Next,
I say it was.
Yeah, until he enqueued. Yeah. And then I was really upset. You guys saw that on live stream. Okay, I have to move on from Theo Evan. I was also randomly adopted by the Portuguese delegation for like 3 days, which was iconic to say the least. I met them after the turquoise carpet. Yeah. Yeah, I actually looked back. I took a picture with them after, and it was a live photo, and I was able to go back and watch it. And they are singing Irish music that I've never heard of in it. I don't even think it's real music. They just decided that's what they wanted to do. Shout out to Anna in particular. They were so nice. I caught up with them on the Thursday, actually, because you know what? When you're in Basel and adopted by the Portuguese delegation, I'm going to take the interview. And I had chatted to one of the lads after the turquoise carpet, and they were telling me how they're fans of Fontaine's DC and Kneecap, which really interesting, like that. I think when people think of Ireland, like they're thinking of musicians, which is really cool, especially Kneecap, guys. Like, moving on from that, fair play to the Portuguese delegation. They were a hoot. Moving on. Next I have on my list is the live show package, guys. I did it. I don't think I'll do it again. Because I don't think my bank account will ever recover from Basel. But as a recommendation, I would say it's a one and done. It's a one and done. I really enjoyed it. It was great having something to do each day, but it wasn't something I think I could afford. Every year. I don't really have anything bad to say about it. But yeah, I think I've done it now.
Like result in the arena, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times fans will have like tickets to one or two of those shows, but you were at all three in the arena with everybody else. Did you find that very different than being like at a watch party or at home or whatever?
Yeah, I do think maybe like some results, maybe it was a bit more dampened because like you're with the same countries every time. So like, for example, like we had a lot of Australians and we had obviously a lot of Irish. So it did feel like maybe during certain shows, like there was less reactions because maybe those countries weren't in our section. But then, you know, when others, like we had some Icelandic people in our section when they qualified, like that was really exciting. And yeah, I think maybe because a lot of the people there as well were going for the full week, it was a bit more chill on certain nights. But the grand final was so fun, I have to say. I'd never done the standing grand final, and it's a long show. But one thing I didn't really fathom or predict was that like because it's so long then people move a lot. It felt like if you needed to get to the front in the final you could do that easier maybe than the semis, because the semis, everyone's there for the full show. But yeah, overall, I think it's a one and done for me. I'll definitely be going back to Eurovision, but I don't think I'll do the full package again. And then last on my notes, I just want to say a big thank you to RTE and Emmy and everyone that I met over there and everyone that adopted me, because I didn't have my Lou and Connor with me for the week. So I actually was literally signing adoption papers every couple of days because I needed new friends.
She was networking.
I was networking. And I'm very thankful to all of the lovely people that I bumped into. Obviously, the old friends, but also new ones as well. So that was really, really nice.
Well, I think a big like kudos to you, because obviously you're on your own, and like we've all done that over the years. So you smashed it this year. So like kudos well to you for doing it in Basel. Obviously it was a stressful little week as well with everything going on too. But yeah, fair play to yourself as well. You killed it.
Basel Maddie. It.
Basel Maddie. Oh yeah, sorry, my last point I have to get through. Guys, you don't need Ozempic. You just need to go to Switzerland, because the minute you see the prices.
What a line. What a line.
Is you look at the prices and I felt slimmer, because you can't be going for any meals. Y'all can cut this out if you want, but that is the truth. That is the God honest truth.
I actually didn't find it too bad. I know you were there for the week, so obviously it makes a big difference, but I didn't find it too
I think if you were ready crazy. For the prices, it was fine.
See, I kept hearing all this doom and gloom about, oh my God, it's like €18 for a beer and stuff like that. So
yeah, it
like
was,
when it came to it, like yeah. It was pricey. But I wasn't like shocked by it, you know, like I guess I was anticipating that it was going to be expensive.
It was like €16 or €17 for like a street food that would like get you through the day, which to be fair, if you were having a meal in Dublin, you know, you're going to be paying more than that.
Well, I think Uber is quite cheap.
Oh, or Uber,
not Uber,
was
sorry,
amazing.
Bolt, because Bolt had a deal. I had like 10 trips for like 50% off. My trips were only like €8 to and back from my hotel.
Yep.
Was all right.
No, the Ubers, the transport was great. Yeah, I have to agree. It was just the food and drink in particular. In particular, sorry, the arena, a large glass of wine was €18. And I've taken so many pictures with that one glass of wine just to remember what an €18 glass of wine feels like, what it looks like, what it smells like, because never, ever again will I ever be doing that. But yeah, overall, I actually agree with you. I don't think it was as bad as we thought it would be. But yeah. That's my little roundup.
Expensive though.
So I know that was a lot, but I feel like I had to get a few things in.
Eurovision week. What's yours?
So yeah, that's
Lou,
my week.
What was your experience? I know we spent a lot of it together, but what was your overall experience of Eurovision 2025?
It's a bit of a blur, but a lot of it, like, it was just a busy week, I suppose. But I feel like I have moved into your house like Monday to Thursday, Connor.
Sunday, really? Because we were live streaming as well.
Yeah.
You know, with the turquoise carpet.
Live streams, yeah. Yeah, it was busy, like, but it was really fun. Like, I enjoyed the experience of like having a little crew, watching the semis, hopping on the live stream. We'd like a nice kind of, what would you say, a group of like regular viewers and listeners, and we enjoyed chatting to all of you guys and like digesting like the results together, and then having our hot takes for the next day's semi-final and so on. And the final itself was like just a whirlwind of emotions, you know, ups, downs. The show flew by. I really enjoyed the running order, actually, of the final. And then the hosting in general, I thought Switzerland did a really good job. I thought the stage was great. I loved the hosts. That comedian girl in particular just really came into her own. She was just kind of cracked. Like, I love how we have this like, would you say slight trend of just wacky female presenters? Love to see that, like, up there now. Like, you know, maybe not, you know, not quite Petra Mead, obviously, or Hannah Waddingham, but like up in that realm. Philomena from Portugal. Love to see it. And some lovely like intervals. Connor, we were humming that Made in Switzerland earlier. That's so catchy. And yeah, good fun overall. Good fun overall. I'm dying to get stuck into the results. I haven't had time yet in this busy month of May to go back and rewatch Eurovision. And normally I do that the week after. I'm kind of dying to do that. But I feel like getting into these results with both of you will be my little beginning of digesting it, I guess. I don't feel like it's fully digested for me yet, you know. I feel like it's in the early stages. And for me personally, these results are some of the weirdest in yonks. I don't know what to be doing. And Connor, you like had that mid point of being at home for most of it, and then your own whirlwind of Basel, plus like a new role, a new job, everything on top of it. Are you still recovering yourself?
Yeah, it took me only until this weekend just gone, because I started a new job on Eurovision Monday, as we call it, and literally that weekend everyone in the group is heading home and sleeping, whereas I was heading to the airport to go to Basel. We'll go to Zurich and then go to Basel. And then I hopped on the live stream with you guys, yourself and Michal, on the Friday night. And basically I didn't know if I was getting on the right train to Basel, because no one spoke any English. So I was like going around Basel and they were just like, yeah, Basel, back to me. And I was like, I'll take that as a yes. And then the train was saying it's an Amsterdam sleeper train. And I was like, heck, if I end up in bleeding Amsterdam, that's no good to me. And anyway, I made it to Basel.
Were we joking you were going to be like 9 months early for Amsterdam concert or something, or 11 months early, whatever it was?
Yeah, that was the plan. That was the plan all along, yeah. So anyway, arrived nicely into Basel earlier than expected, and we headed straight to meet Ms. Basmati beside me, and we had a good catch up.
We
that
spilled
night.
The tea.
We must have been there till like 2 a.m. in your apartment, but just...
I feel like
chatting.
Basel, though, we did a lot of pre-drinking, which I'm sure you saw on the live streams. There was a lot of chats, tea being spilled. But yeah, we had to.
Yeah.
Because once you got there, you know, you're paying 16, 17 euro for a G&T, girl. So, you know, we were trying to avoid that. But yeah, that was really fun, wasn't it?
It was fun, yeah. But it was just crazy heading straight to Euroclub as well. And like this year's Euroclub, I feel, is so different to any other that we've seen. Like it was kind of like a mini... You know when you watch those like futuristic documentaries or films and you walk in, like you have like the LED walls like moving and stuff. It was just kind of walking into that kind of spaceship vibe. I felt, particularly when you're sleep deprived and all like that, like just the whole vibe of Euroclub this year was very...
It felt like a spaceship.
It really did. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm so sleep deprived. I need my bed, but like this is so cool. Euroclub music wasn't that great, if I'm being honest. I thought that was really, really poor.
The poorest.
Yeah.
And there was only one DJ. So, like, for example, in Malmo last year, you could move rooms if you didn't like a song.
And even in Liverpool, if, you know, things were repeated in either room in case you missed anything. But, like, I wouldn't have been raving about Euroclub now this time around. But, like, it was grand. Like, it was massive. And then the next day, like, just going... waking up and then going to the press area. It was really weird. Obviously, like, we always say Eurovision is like summer camp. Like, you see your friends all the time. It was great to catch up with people briefly and, you know, see so many familiar faces and get kind of excited for the night ahead. And, yeah, and then we'll talk about it later on. But the results, like, I feel like everything was really positive, really happy. And then the results were just like, boom, here we go. So, yeah, it was a whirlwind of a weekend. But I'm glad I did it. But I'm certainly, like, I was still recovering all week long. And then, like, my flight was late on the Sunday night. So I didn't arrive home until, like, 11. And then I was up again straight second week into my new job. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I regret this incredibly. But it was, yeah, it's you only live once, as they say. But it was good fun. It was good fun.
Would you
love to see it for the week, though.
If you were to do it again, would you like an extra day? Or did you think, like, it was enough?
Well, particularly for us, because we're lucky enough to have press accreditation. I would have loved to have gone to a rehearsal show or even a show itself. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the actual inside of the arena. I had to see the stage or anything like that. But I watched the final from the football stadium across the road. So there was like 35, 36,000 fans in that place. And incredible job they did with it. Like it was really, really cool. And that's where they announced the Swiss jury points as well from. So it was really cool to see that kind of element of it. And it was a unique viewing experience, I guess, because last year myself and Alex, we watched the final from the arena. So I feel like every year I've watched it in a different way. From Turin, we watched it in a hotel basement, basically. Liverpool, we watched it in the big viewing area in the village. Last year we went to the final. This year I watched it in like a football stadium. So it's cool to see how different cities are doing it, I guess. But I just kept thinking, like, oh my God, imagine Croke Park, like 90,000 fans crammed in the Croke Park watching it on a big screen. Like, it was just so cool. But anyway, we'll get through that later on in the episode. But yeah, I would recommend people to do it, like, if they can do it. But definitely, I think, have your full Friday if you can. And if there's easy flights, just Basel was so awkward because the flights direct were like Monday and Friday. And they were like at 7 a.m. in the morning. It's like, how is that working for anyone? So
they always have rumors about like, oh, they're going to add flights, you know, oh, Liverpool, ah, they'll be adding flights. Like, I don't think they've ever added flights for
the only flight was, that was easy was Liverpool from Dublin. There was like seven a day. Yeah, whereas like every other city, like Turin, we had to fly to Milan.
Yeah,
and then for Malmo, we had to go to Copenhagen, which is not too bad, but like it's still like an added bit of journey. Then this year, we both flew to Zurich, so.
Yeah, next if you year, wanted any good
they're direct
days.
Flights to Vienna. Can we check that on the Google?
Oh my God, we need to book them now anyway.
No, I know, honestly.
Jeepers.
But yeah, yeah. Well, we get move on really and kind of dissect a bit more.
Yeah, I want to get into these results. And it's probably good. Like Lou, you said that you hadn't like fully gone back and watched it. I don't think I have either. So these are kind of our real and raw reactions, I think. And first time us being together too.
Yeah, and I opened up the top 10 a few minutes before we started recording and I kind of went, oh my God, this is such a weird set of results. Like, I don't even know where to start with it. But we probably should start with the winner, right? The winner of Eurovision 2025. Lads, it's Austria 2026 because JJ has won the Eurovision Song Contest with Wasted Love.
Austria, from the audience, you have received...
So 178 public votes, public points, 258 jury points. Yeah, so yet again, we have another winner that hasn't managed to top both. And coming lower down again in the public, fifth, I believe, in the public vote. Still a very strong score, but an interesting year of public votes and the way they ended up being spread as well. Sergio Hayen, of course, we have to shout out as the Eurovision podcast, originally found his Eurovision start with Bambi Thug for Ireland in 2024, staging three entries this year. Finland, Erica Vickman, who we'll talk about later. Cyprus, Theo Evan, who Alex was lovingly chatting about earlier, unfortunately.
And you.
A non-qualification just in that 11th spot region. And this year's winner, Austria. So Sergio now on a winning Eurovision delegation. And I loved the chat you guys had with him, actually, after the final. It was really good to see. You guys should check on our socials if you haven't seen it yet. Yeah, really nice chat with him. But lads, we're heading back to Austria. I mean, I certainly wasn't predicting it, but I'm not super mad about it. It wouldn't have been in my top five picks. I'll say that. The song wasn't for me. But look, respect where it's due. They've done the job. They've done it. We're going back to Austria. Interestingly, for the 70th anniversary, we were in Austria for the 60th anniversary in 2015. But Connor, what do you make of the winner?
Oh, it's hard to talk about it without the context of what could have happened. And I think everyone is very much delighted to see Austria be crowned the winner. I think, like, again, it's the third year in a row that the jury has decided the winner. And I think people this year, like I said, people are probably very happy that that is the case, given it. But it's just mad. Like, we've seen over the last 2 years previously, like, the jury winner kind of swamps up all the points. They're in the 350 kind of range for points, whereas this year it's 258. It just shows you that it was much more of a split vote across the board. And even similar with the televote, like, no one really stormed it massively. So it just shows you how competitive this year was as a whole. And Austria is even winning points, 436 points. That's the lowest point total since that new introduction, new voting system was introduced way back in 2016. So just shows you again how much of kind of a competitive year, or maybe some might say a weak year, that there was so many options on the table for people to vote for. But yeah, I think, look, staging was obviously very impressive. I know we weren't raving about it as a whole, but I think maybe for the casuals, they were tuning in and just interested by the dramatics of what was going on. I still kind of stick by it that is it the most amazing winner that we've had? Probably not, but I'm very much happy that it is the winner, given that, you know, we could have been having a completely different conversation right now. But also important to work out, to point out our quickfire ratings as well. This came second overall with 8.38, just beating it was Albania on 8.52. But yeah, it just shows you how, you know, our quickfire ratings are kind of a good indicator as well, you know, obviously with how songs are doing. I know last year we had the same thing with Switzerland winning it and now Austria second place. We have a good little running, you know, we're coming after the model now. Eurovol, James Stevenson, we're coming.
I think for being tech, I think Bambi won our quickfire, did they not?
Yeah, they did. And yeah, but second place was Switzerland.
Our second place is the one to watch. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Just want to watch now for 2026 and see what happens there with our little quickfires. But yeah, look, I'm happy overall. I'm not like listening to the song or anything like that. Like it's not doing wonders for me, but I'm happy for JJ. I'm happy for Austria. They seem really enthusiastic about hosting it again. And I just hope it's better than 2015. I can't stand 2015 as a year, song-wise and staging-wise and everything like that. And just please no Conchita either. Sick of seeing Conchita.
Oh, Conchita will definitely be there.
I hope not. Jesus.
Speaking of the points, actually, sorry. Hold Me Closer got two more points than this. Cornelia Jacobs, who came fourth in 2022. Like, that top four in Turin. Obviously, Stephanie winning it. Spaceman Sam Ryder would have beaten this. And Slow-Mo Chanel, the Spaniards will be happy to hear.
Yeah.
It's mad that we have a winner with, although, as you said, such
I
a low
score. I have to put my two pence in.
Yeah, I was going to come to you, Alex. You were more a fan of this from the beginning.
I'm very
This was your winner,
this
wasn't
was
it?
My winner. So, as you can expect, I was really happy with this result because I really did feel like, especially in the last week, like in the press centre, it really felt like the tide was against Austria. And like we do get so sucked up.
He's on a sailboat.
Yeah. Because we do get so sucked up, I think, into like the fandom and like people's opinions. And you know what? This win really reminds me of Nemo last year, where remember Nemo was like a favourite for so long. It was always well respected. It also was kind of a popra, so people thought maybe it's a little bit outside chances, but it was really solid. And then remember their staging came out and it just felt like people weren't impressed enough. And I felt like Austria, it was the same thing. It actually, if we went into that blind, people would have been amazed. But I think people go in with such high expectations from Sergio, from JJ, from the team, because they had done such a great job up until that point, that then the whole conversation became about France. It became about other countries. It kind of reminds me of that, where it got a little bit overshadowed in the last week. But then when we go back to everyone's initial reaction to Austria, it was really good. I think it's the perfect winner song for me. I think as a concept, the fact that it went from pop into opera and then that ending, I think really is what made it a winning moment. It's similar again to Nemo, who has like ups and downs in their entry. Overall, I was really happy with the result and felt a little bit vindicated, honestly, because I really did feel in the last day I was fighting for my life in that press centre when people asked me. I did my last piece of content I did before the final was I hopped on Adam McCallag's prediction TikTok and I was the only one to say Austria. And now I'm like, yeah, very proud of that. Because it really felt like France all of a sudden just became like, everyone thought they were going to storm it. And we'll get to that later.
There was also a tie turning on Finland, I noticed that week. A lot of people were saying Finland had it and like we'll come to Finland later, but not in the top 10.
Yeah. And Sweden a little bit, I felt maybe just in the arena, the tie turned in terms of opinion because people
felt that. I have beef about that, but we'll talk about it later when we get
to
Sweden.
We'll get
I forgot
to
add with Austria. I'm very happy because I also won a bit of money on
Same.
A bet, which also
myself and Connor made
paid for
bank.
My hotel in Basel. So
oh
I'm
God,
very
amazing.
Happy with that now overall. I was delighted skipping out the arena like, oh yes, I got my money back.
But yeah, overall, I am really happy with Austria and it was my winner. So yeah. Really happy.
So Austria 2026, we'll be waiting with bated breath to
are
see.
Are we going? Is that the plan? Can we make a plan now, lads? What's the, what are we thinking? I know it's very soon, but I feel Lou now.
Lou,
you've skipped now with 2 years. I know things have happened. What's the diary looking like for May 2026?
I'll be very honest. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. In the week leading up, I was like, oh, I'm going next year.
Yeah.
And then I watched the live show and I was like, oh, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can put myself through that. I was just so stressed at the end of the live show. I get very stressed. I'd rather get into my own bed if that happens. I'd just rather maybe come back to me in January when I've like had a bit of had a bit of a breather, put me down as a maybe.
Okay. Put me down as a maybe.
What I will say is I think when you're there in person, like it doesn't feel as serious or tense because you're with a big crowd of people.
You guys will obviously be there.
Yeah, I'm not even going to lie.
I'm not
going to
lie. Yeah, I'll be there in some capacity.
I think myself and Connor will be there.
I'll be there in some capacity. Like, I'm just like, I think once you get the bug, it's just hard not to go.
It's so hard not. You know? I'm not going to do live shows, though. I think I'm just going to do press.
I'll probably do live show semi-final of whatever Ireland's in. And then, like, I'm happy to watch it in, like, a viewing area or something like that. But anyway, that's 2026. That's a year away, lads. Where are we going now, Lee? What's the next...
Well, I suppose we'll delve more into the top 10. I mean, we obviously have very complex feelings about the runner-up, and this probably isn't the time or place to discuss all of it at large. Yeah, interesting points coming in there. And obviously, a lot of you have probably seen talk online of, like, general broadcasters reaching out to the EBU requesting more breakdowns of results and such. You know, if you were to go by, like, streaming stats of songs and views as well, Israel probably wouldn't have been in contention to have been the runner-up, but that's where they've ended up.
That's fishy. Like, can we just call it spade a spade? It's fishy. Yeah. And, like, I'm glad that broadcasters, including RT, are calling them out and trying to look into this, because, like, we knew it last year. It was kind of like a little alarm bell going off that, that's not right. And now it's finally coming clear that, you know, we've seen other broadcasters publish their data. Like, something is very clearly going wrong, and not so much cheating or anything like that, but, like, there is a manipulation of the rules and stretching the rules to, you know, go in their favour in some capacity, 100%.
Belgium's were very interesting to me. I'd highly recommend people go and look up the comparison of the 2023 viewing figures and voting figures in comparison to 24 and 25, because they're a very interesting read in terms of the amount of votes coming in versus the viewers. Yeah. It doesn't add up, we'll say. Like,
Spain
mathematically
is similar as well.
Strange.
Spain is similar as well.
I just want to say as well, I do think, like, hyper competitiveness is not what the competition should be about if you're doing campaigns to vote 20 times. Like, it's not in the spirit of the contest.
Yeah. And that's a broader issue just other than Israel. You know, I think we should point it out that, you know, this is historically happening, but, like, in terms of the voting for what's gone on this year, it's very much clear that something, you know, outside of just getting a few people to vote has been going on. But, like Lou said, like, this is obviously continuing to be investigated. There's no point speculating now. And it's definitely something that we'll come back to over the next few weeks, possibly, once we get more of a clear picture. And it's definitely a developing story, as they say, and one to keep an eye on. But I think all of us can agree that, like, it was too close for comfort this year.
Yeah.
And, like, I know myself, I was watching it in the football stadium, as I was saying, with Harry. A lot of people know ESC Harry from YouTube and stuff like that, a good friend of ours. And I think both of us kind of were just shocked for that moment of, we kind of nearly lost a big part of our lives. Like, I think, you know, we love Eurovision so much, and we, you know, we live and breathe it. Like, there's not a day, 365 days a year, we're talking, right, or thinking of Eurovision in some capacity at some point during the day. And all the friends we made through it, all the social events that we go to. And yeah, we're still great friends, but it is such a core part of our lives. And how, you know, if the results had gone the other way, how much we nearly could have lost, in a sense, and how much, you know, it means to us. And it's not just a silly little contest in May. It is a bigger thing that impacts our lives so much. And I think it really, I know in the press center afterwards, like, we were all going around saying it was so close, you know, like, people were in tears and people were crying. And, like, myself and Harry, we didn't speak for about 10 minutes after, because we were just kind of standing there looking at the fireworks going, Jesus, like, that could have gone so worse. That could have turned completely on its head. And it could have been, honestly, the death of Eurovision. Like, I don't think that's being dramatic. Like, honestly, I think
100%.
Like, if that had gone the other way, Jesus Christ, like, that would have been the end of us, probably.
Like,
or, you know,
this is,
like,
the second year in the row, by the way, that it feels like the death of the competition was near.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think something needs to change.
It's kind of like, wake the feck up, like, you know.
And as a fan as well, like, I think there's been so many tweaks. There's nothing wrong with things changing with the competition. The competition changes all the time, sometimes for the better, sometimes for not, depending on your opinion. And just certain things this year left for me a very sour taste in my mouth. Like, when we come to talk about countries like Sweden, Finland, even I think Australia were really affected by the muting of the audience in the arena. And we all know why that was happening, because of like booing of, you know, Martin Osterdahl and Israel's entry last year. And it, then that ultimately affects every entry, because when there's a call and response in a song, when there's great energy from the crowd, we weren't getting it. It made the show on TV feel more sterile, I think. Like, I understand things like press. I don't have a major problem with press conferences going, in that I think if it's less stressful for the artists than it is for the best. But then as a fan, I was missing that bit of like reaction, that bit of content. I didn't really feel that was replaced after the semi-finals, and I was missing that. There was just a number of major changes this year, which just made elements of the show feel very, very different. And we know why they're in place, and that can leave a little bit of a sour taste. And I'd love now to see like the fan community. I think a lot of people are doing it. I think like channeling our efforts into making sure JJ has this moment now as the winner, because I know when I was away and I had a lot of like friends and everything asking me about the runner-up spot, my opinion, I kind of was just like, I understood it because it's a big story and it's in the media, especially in the Irish media, it's a big story. But it's you feel bad for the winner. Like, I don't want it to overshadow JJ's moment as well. You know what I mean? Mm. And I'm hoping going into 2026 that, I don't know, like what decisions the EBU are going to make and what the broadcasters are going to do in terms of applying pressure or not. I hope that it becomes more of JJ's story of 2025, you know, because it's the second year, as you said, Alex, where we've had that kind of stress.
Mm. I think as well, like I remember saying it over in Basel, like, you know, Eurovision, you used to always watch the scoreboard, and you used to always either be watching your own country on the scoreboard or your favorites on the scoreboard. Whereas I feel like the last 2 years I've been focusing on that country and going kind of keeping track of, okay, they've got 2 points here. Okay, no one voted for them there. Okay, they're going down. Great. Look, kind of like anticipating the worst. And then like you're building yourself up for that televote, which you know is going to be massive, and are just hoping and praying that it doesn't go that way. And that's not what Eurovision is. It's not what you should be thinking of when the scores are coming in. You should be excited for every country. You should be like rooting for your own country or rooting for your favorites and not thinking the worst of another country. And I think that's such a key part of Eurovision that's being stripped away. And like you were saying, Lou, essentially being, you know, it's censorship of what the audience feels and what's actually authentic and what makes Eurovision. Like, I remember seeing a clip of 2024 and the crowd noise for Croatia coming on. It was electric. If that happened this year, you would have not got that at all. And I don't think actually Croatia would have even done well this year, because that was stripped away from it completely. And the audience are such a key part. The fans are such a key part of Eurovision. And if you are censoring them and, you know, diluting the actual feeling and the actual, you know, noise of the arena, what's the point of even having an audience there, you know, just for the look of it? What's that going to do? Put an AI audience in if you're going to do that, you know? Like, it's just such a shame that all of this is happening just for one single country, when you have the likes of 3,600 countries. And as well, like Lou, you said, there's a winner overall. You know, JJ, that's his story now. And it's just being overshadowed by everything that's coming out now and everything that's gone on. But I just hope that we can get back to that a bit more next year of what, you know, Eurovision should be all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a country only 1 point behind, in third place, lads, Espresso Macchiato. Connor, podium for...
God knows, yeah.
Your arch nemesis, it felt like at one point.
My arch nemesis up until about 2 minutes before he got his televote, and I was praying to God that he was going to overtake Israel. I was like, please come through, Tommy. I'm bemused by this. I'm not bemused by the televote score, like second in the televote overall. And quite close to actually Israel, 297 for Israel, 258 for Estonia. So nearly won the televote. But it was the jury score. They came ninth in the jury overall. I thought jurors would absolutely tank this. And then to finish, obviously, overall third, like that is incredible by Tommy Cash. I don't know how he did it. I don't know what happened. I guess it just goes back to the catchiness of the song, maybe. But the jury results overall, I'm just like, don't get it at all. But ninth with the jury. I thought this was going to be a bottom three for the jury overall. Tell about, not too surprised, but the jury, I'm just like, Jesus, you cannot expect, you can't say anything about the jury now. They will actually vote for anything. I was about to swear. They'll vote for anything nowadays. Like,
Yeah, I thought he elevated the stage performance a lot. Like, I know people for the national final were like, I didn't actually get it either. But I did think he did a really good job of like elevating it and bringing it to the Eurovision stage, like the bouncing plane and some of the stuff going on the LEDs as well. One of the biggest, I suppose, changes that we saw out of the whole week with the fake stage invasion.
Love like, that.
To be fair, that was genius and like really brought like that element of fun and like the camp factor that I think people tune into Eurovision for. And like a lot of the other stagings, you weren't getting like a new element like that. So even for fans, I think that was like really exciting and fun and different. That jury score is inexplainable other than the fact that they just thought this is a load of fun, it's a jazzy song, there's maybe not so much to downgrade it on. Lou, what did you think?
Yeah, like I never would have been shocked at this doing well, but I don't think I would have predicted top three. But I mean, gosh, that's Estonia's best result for quite some time. And I guess as well, you know, we have to acknowledge Tommy Cash has a big following already that maybe not all of us were aware of before the contest, but upon learning more about him this year, you could see online, you know, and I was like following a lot of stuff on Reddit, and you could see people in different threads going, oh my god, is that Tommy Cash? Like non-Eurovision fans, but saying like, oh, I know him. And like, you know, we've talked about before, he's collab with Charlie XCX and like a very well-known artist in general. So yeah, made it work on the night. And that's, you know, along with the top two in those results, Estonia has won. A lot of kind of more casual viewers have been mentioning to me, you know, a friend of mine who lives in Canada said it was all over her TikTok, and she's like not on the Eurovision side of TikTok. It was just coming up on her algorithm as like something kind of funny. So yeah.
And now he's at Electric Picnic 2025, which I think
with
is even
pal
more
Jost Klein.
Even more of a bonkers decision. But anyway, that's for the summer.
Mad.
What do you think? Do you think this means that like in a universe where Jost actually qualified, like he could have done really well?
Jost was very close to winning the semi-final.
But didn't they work it out with the jury scores on the Friday that he would have finished? Actually, similar enough to Estonia, ninth. So I guess you could say, but then again, that
did they know?
They knew the jury score. They worked it out because you remember he wasn't disqualified until the Saturday morning.
I wonder what the jury.
So they voted on the jury performance of, or the live performance of semifinal two for the jury show. So I think he came eighth or ninth in the jury.
He really did avenge Jost, didn't he?
In a way, yeah. Now, I don't know, televote wise, it's hard to call because last year, this year is more spread out vote wise. Maybe last year wouldn't have been the same case, but I guess we'll never know. But you could make the case.
They came second in the semifinals. They would have done relatively well.
He definitely would have come top four in the televote, like 100%. Everyone knows you're a papa, whether you're a fan or not. So
I overheard people listening to it a few days ago. I was like, I can't believe this is still.
No, you can definitely make a case that you would have had a Jost Klein or
it's a good comparison, actually.
Sony effect.
Guys, fourth place. I was ready to die on the hill for Sweden for so long. I just didn't budge from February. Barbara Bastu. Kai, I was almost correct. I kept saying, oh, I think they could do top four in both. They came third in the televote, happy with that. Sixth in the jury. That's a decent jury result for Sweden. But they were both decent scores and it just wasn't enough to push them up, ultimately ending up about 110 points behind Austria overall, finishing in fourth place. But a solid result for Sweden nonetheless. Classic top four for Sweden to get. I mean, not a massive change performance-wise from Melfest. For me, as someone streaming the song a lot, I noticed a big difference in the backing vocals. They made them a bit richer. But just again, I had such beef with not being able to feel that audience reaction or response, you know, like whether it was genuinely more muted from the audience or the audience were into it. Either way, I just would have loved to have felt that live reaction to it. And yeah, that was a big element of the performance that was really let me down, and I'm not happy with the Eurovision bosses for doing that to my Kai. And I might write a strongly worded letter about that.
I actually was really surprised watching it in the arena. There was obviously 36,000 fans in that football stadium, and I thought Sweden would get a bigger reaction. I don't know how you felt in the arena, Alex, but I actually thought the place was going to erupt, and I nearly had my phone out ready to record. it was very muted. Like, there was Swedes up near us in the tier, whatever you call it, and they were going mad. They were like, bah, 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 super. Everyone else was quite muted, which I found quite shocking. I thought the roof was going to, well, there was no roof, yeah. But you know what I mean? I thought the place was going to go crazy.
I have to agree with you on that. And I think for me, what maybe made me think, because everyone was hyping Sweden for the win earlier in the week. Like, when you looked at, even right up until the final, even during the final, they were so heavily favourites to win the whole thing. And to be honest, it was only after their semi-final that I started to question that a bit, because I did feel as the same in the arena, that there wasn't as much singing along, and probably because it's in Swedish as well, right? So it's not as accessible maybe to sing along, so it would only be the bada bada bastu bit. I think it's a really, really good result for them, and fair play. Like, they obviously did, Sweden does that brilliantly, right? Where they can polish something even as fun and kind of public bait, but bring it to where the juries need it to be to give it points, which they obviously did fantastically. But yeah, I have to say that was maybe the one thing that skewed it for me or changed my opinion. Sorry, not opinion. Changed my expectation of the result a bit. I did feel that it was more muted in the arena than I would have expected. But going back to your point, Lou, we still should hear that. There was still a reaction. Mm. There were still people exactly. shouting for it. And like, that's a part of the competition. Maybe that, yeah, no matter what the reaction was, we should be able to hear it. And I think it's unfair to be some kind of AI or whatever they were doing over it was really inauthentic, and you can feel that.
I think what really shocked me is that Sweden didn't even win their semi-final.
They came fourth in their semi-final. I'm looking at it here.
I didn't even realise.
And Ukraine, Albania, and Netherlands finished ahead of them
in
the semi-final. But like, that's televote only semi. And then Sweden came third in the final televote. So they obviously had more friends in the final that maybe weren't in their semi-final or whatever. Very strange. And then obviously that sixth, and the jury kept them up there in the final. Interestingly also, Estonia came fifth. So
yeah,
Tommy Cash came second in the overall televote of Eurovision 2025, but came fifth in the semi-final.
Does that relate
That's
back
such
then,
a weird set of results.
That very much relates back to the theory of the hardcore fans are the ones that are really watching the semi-finals, I guess.
Mm.
Because like, the hardcore fans love Albania, come second in semi-final one.
Yeah.
Whereas in the final, ultimately, overall, where did they finish? Albania finished overall. With the jury, they finished 16th. With the televote, they finished 5th. Whereas Sweden, as you said, finished 3rd. So, you know, there's more of the general fans maybe tuning in. So I guess it can kind of relate to the hardcore fans
that
are the one tuning in to the semi-finals, essentially. Yeah.
There's a small part of me that's actually quite impressed they don't let that leak out. Like, you can understand then why they don't release those results, because when you look at the bookies, like, that would have completely changed if people had known that.
Yeah.
The betting would have been absolutely different. And I just couldn't believe Sweden, even up until like past them getting points in the final, they were still winning by a huge majority in the bookies. So,
and I think everyone as well, with the televote vote coming in, everyone was expecting, okay, here's the moment where Sweden like swarm it. And then it was, what was it, Lee?
195.
And everyone's like, oh.
I thought they'd hit at least 200.
Wow. Like, when you hear the one and then you're like, shite, what the hell happened there? So, it's a weird one. I don't know what factors into it. Is it, I remember in the preseason, I was thinking like, are people just kind of sick of Sweden winning? That there is that kind of anti-Sweden bias, or did it just not land with the public? It's hard to know. Or was there just better songs out there? I don't know. It's hard to know what exactly went wrong with Sweden this year.
Like, fourth place, by the way, is amazing. And it could only be Sweden that we're having this conversation where we're like disappointed by a song like this from Sweden coming forth. So honestly, they just have a crack.
I think it's more so just because the hype of the bookies, you know, being so high sky and everyone thinking that they would win. I think that's just essentially it. But like, again, fourth place as well with a Swedish song as well. It's like, Sweden, don't be afraid to send Swedish now. Like, keep it coming. We want to see that more Eurovision. So don't
also
be afraid now.
Gagged at their jury only give the Finnish jury, sorry, only giving 10 to Sweden with the three Finnish lads. They gave 12 to Austria. Fifth place then. Would we ever have predicted this? Italy. Lucio Corsi Yeah, Connor, some interesting results for you in this top five, obviously.
It was like a whiplash every Italy's moment. Big talking him point. Popping up with the 12 points. Like, Italy, I said, no, get him off the screen.
Yeah. I mean, Italy doing well is never a shock. Do you know what I mean? Because it's Italy. But I do recall us all sort of agreeing on the, this might not be Italy's best result this decade. Nope, never mind. Top five. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, easy done. Like, do Italy just have this natural pull to people? Is there a quality of them that, like, certain areas of Europe will just always love? What's the pull?
I'm bemused because, like, I don't think this deserved top 10. Like, the performance itself was, like, take out all the factors of me not liking Michael Jackson, all that kind of stuff. Like, just generally viewing it, the song was quite bland and boring and, like, visually staging wise, it wasn't exciting. It was quite basic and boring, you know, it was just two singers on the stage. Like, does that warrant a top 10 finish? I don't personally think so. But clearly, you know, people are voting, so they do think that there was a likability about it. But I'm Italy is just that one country in Eurovision. I'm just like, I just don't know how they do it, but you can always bank on them to do well for some strange reason all of a sudden. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I would say a lot of it comes from the likes of Sanremo, like, really prioritizing the music, the lyrics, like, it being a song contest. They usually produce, like, very authentic music. And I do think that song, even though for me, like, it's not really my kind of song, it did feel like one of the most authentic songs in the final, which is usually sometimes where we miss it or miss a trick as Eurovision fans, I think, because it's not, you know, girly bop, it's not flashy. I did think that them adding the lyrics in English really added to it, and I think really helped for the storytelling. You're always going to have those people, right, who like, you know, maybe a more down ballady style song like this, and I'd say adding those lyrics in English really added to that. So yeah, I think it's just really testament to their selection process that they, I know it's not a national final, it's a way that they use to choose who represents them. And that Sanremo, yeah, it genuinely does manage to find some of the best talent and, yeah, music in the country. I'm very jealous that they have it, because what a result for them. Lou?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Like, top five is a bit of a shock to me. But then I can see why there's an audience for it. And it's Italy. Italy, Ukraine, Sweden to a point, just always seem to have this general pull to do well. You know, it's like Sweden, Italy, top five. Like, it could be any year you could cover up the songs and I'd be like, yeah, fair enough. Sixth then, Greece. And I'll admit, egg on my face. Did Lads, not call this.
Y'all didn't even think this would qualify.
Was never going to call this.
You coming for us, in fairness, we did say it was going to qualify after we saw the show.
Yeah, we did.
So, but get back down there.
I'll
be honest about it. I would never have called a top 10.
No.
Like, personally. But obviously a section, like, it was a strong vote. Like, 126 in the public, 105 in the jury.
And it's one of those weird ones where it comes eighth in both the jury and televote but ends up sixth.
Yeah.
It's so weird, just obviously when you add the points together.
And I would have never said it would have done better in the televote than the jury. Like, I would have always felt this is more of a jury song, but it's doing very well in both, but 20 points more in the public vote. So people responded to it. Obviously, it was one of the ballads that caught people's eyes and ears. Yeah. I wasn't a massive fan. It's one that, like, in years to come, if, like, I were going through the top 10 in 2025, I'll honestly forget that Greece is there. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. Just didn't stand out to me. But, yeah, well done to Greece. They're definitely kind of back on a good, I feel, Eurovision streak.
And can I just say as well, one thing I noticed this year more than ever, Greek fans are, like, so, they're so passionate, genuinely, in the arena. I felt, and even in the press centre at times, like, the Greeks stood behind their act so much. I was actually quite impressed. They were given similar vibes to the Spanish, where, like, they just loved Klavdia. And there was actually a person in front of me that you would have seen if you're watching Eurovision in some of the shots, where he was dressed. He had, like, a Klavdia wig and glasses on. And a really funny part of the show that you guys wouldn't have seen was Like he was lovely, and obviously Clavdy, and we're all like, oh, here she is, you know, the Clavdy Doe or whatever he called himself was ready with his big Greek flag, and Clavdy came on and he decided he had to scream in Greek at her like for the entire time while she was waiting, to the point where she actually looked up and laughed because she could hear him. Like,
I love that.
Like, but I just felt the whole week.
Was there a video of her blowing a kiss or something?
Yes, was to the person in front of me. She actually blew a kiss to him. And that's I think that was like really sweet. And throughout the whole week, I was just so impressed by the Greeks because they really stood behind her and honestly brought the hype, because I do think it was very muted like in the Euro fandom. But to be fair, when that song came out, people loved it. Like, in general, I felt that the fandom liked it, and then it just became muted. So, yeah, I liked the song, but I wouldn't have thought it was going to come sixth. Like, again, I think it is more testament to the year that it is, that it was so open that it managed to get that place. I don't know, in another year, would it manage that? But yeah, I do like the song, and I thought her voice really was what sold it.
The Greeks can mobilise, you're right. They are like the Spanish when they want to. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Lou. Like, years to come, when you think about the top 10 at Eurovision 25, like, it'd be the one question, I think, on, you know, that TV show Pointless, where you have to get the answers that people won't say. Greece would be like a pointless answer because you just would not remember this whatsoever. But like, we were very impressed with the performance when we saw it live, so I think it deserved to qualify. Shocked by a top 10 finish, but you know, fair play to her. Fair play, she delivered and just resonated with the public and with the jury. It was always going to be that jury song, 100%, but the public, yeah, that score is so high for Greece, and fair play to them. Fair play.
As I look through this top 10, I'm like, I predicted this really badly because France in seventh, that was one that I was like, oh, that's a lock top four. I just had this notion that it was another kind of similar to Slimane vibe. And granted, seventh is still a very good result. Only 1 point behind Greece, Luan with Mama. Very strong jury result, 180 points, which actually was third in the jury, but lower with the public, only 50 points, 14th. bringing her to seventh.
I think with this one, I think staging probably messed this up for the public. I think the message of the song was so beautiful, you know, particularly that last moment with the child going "Mama," you know, maybe if they leaned more into that. The sand maybe just was maybe too much for people to really grasp with it. And maybe, you know, for a song that is so dramatic, maybe simplicity was the way to go. And though it was very simple compared to the big reveal of the Six Nations way back in March, maybe this was still just a bit too much compared to the likes of Switzerland. But then again, Switzerland got 0 points, but we'll come to that. Ugh. But you know what I mean? Like, maybe just the staging didn't match the message of the song and didn't resonate with people at home. And I'm just shocked by 14th place with the public. Like, 14th, that's a bit of a disaster result compared to, you know, the talk of the town before and the French delegation, you know, really, really hyping them up and, you know, really thinking that they could have been on the cusp of a win this year. And it just shows you that the televoters did not get this, which is shocking. But anyway, yeah. What about you guys?
I think this result is such a good reflection of sometimes your initial reaction is right and probably what's going to happen, and then we all get carried away with notions throughout the year of, you know, the hype and the hype train that comes with it. Like, we obviously filmed our reaction to this on our TikTok. It's now sitting on about 1.5 million views, by the way, which is hilarious. But I would recommend go and watch it, because we mostly were not that impressed by it. And considering the fact that this was at Stade de France, right, it was at live at the Six Nations, and we look a bit bored by it, which is like not a great sign if this is possibly going to be in the winner conversation. And as I said in the press center the day before, genuinely everyone was saying this is going to win, this is going to be the jury winner, and the public are going to love it. I do think the staging, I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was well done. Obviously, there was a shot which has now kind of gone a little bit viral, where it looks like she has taking a trip to the bathroom, which again, I think they should have changed that because they had that feedback before and for some reason they kept it. Yeah, I just honestly, my biggest feedback on this is I don't think the song itself was strong enough. I don't think there is a moment in it. I know the last bit with her, the child at the end, that is to me the best moment in the song, but as a structure, I just don't think it brought you enough places and had enough ups and down like what Slimane had last year. I felt that that brought you on more of a musical journey to me. So to summarise it and put a bow on it, I do think this fell victim to the hype train. But when I look at, we have it on camera, our initial reaction, it was kind of like meh.
Caught in 4K.
Yeah, caught in 4K. What do you think, Lou?
Yeah. I totally agree with both of your points. Like, I don't know. It feels like, just to add to the conversation, it feels like France are gunning for a win a little bit. And like, they came so close to Barbara Pravi. Like, I think a lot of people would hypothesize if it hadn't been, you know, the Maneskin, like one of the most viral artists Eurovision has seen in recent years, you know, one of the big, big success stories of Eurovision in modern times. It would have been probably France's year. Like, Barbara Pravi did have that winning moment. It nearly sometimes feels like we had three winners. Like, Sean's Tears was so amazing that year as well. And since then, they've been chasing it and they've had really good results. Like, Slimane, you mentioned from last year, he was fourth, right? Like, nearly won the whole jury vote as well last year. And they've been really going after this chanson, you know, this classic French ballad. I wonder, are they going to continue with that now, or what is their next venture on their Eurovision path going to be? Are they going to go back left of field and send something more experimental like we had with Fulain? I personally loved their national finals in recent years, but it feels like the broadcaster is more leaning into that internal selection.
It's coming back though next year.
Oh, it's confirmed coming back?
Yeah, they said it's coming back.
So. Oh, happy days for Lou. Deadly. I love the French selection. Cool. Well, I'll be looking forward to that then and seeing what they do. Because, do you know, I wouldn't mind a French win. I wouldn't mind going to the South of France for Eurovision. That would be quite nice. But lads, eighth place. Germ. Oh, very happy. January, Lou, is very vindicated. People were sleeping on this early on. The fandom really rallied around it as the season went on. Great result, especially when you consider Albania put on last in the running order. Sometimes can lead to not great results. They secured the bag, they got top 10. One of Albania's best results in quite a while. I think it's really deserved. And I love how well this did with the public, right? 173. That was fifth in the televote. Love to see it. Not as much love in the jury, interestingly, but look, the people's princess, Beatrice, we love her, and Cole as well. What do you guys think?
I think it's really disappointing that the jury didn't reward this more, and maybe speaks to something that needs to change, or I don't know. I do think, how are you going to give Estonia so many more points? So like, if I say,
yeah.
So sorry, can we compare the two? So
nearly
we have
double.
Nearly double. Can you really say that that's warranted? I don't think that makes sense to me if you're a jury and you're objectively comparing the two packages. You should be rewarding Albania. And is it just that certain sound of music that I heard someone say recently, you know, is it that they're going, oh, this couldn't play on the radio, where Espresso Macchiato, yeah, you could hear that on the radio, but that doesn't mean could that you? It's not. Well,
what station are you listening to?
I won't mention, but yeah, look, I do think there's something that I'm not really happy with there, and I'm really disappointed, and I hope that, you know, in future going forward, juries hopefully, you know, start to give more love to these kinds of entries from that part of the world, because they deserve more, and the public came through.
Mm.
Connor?
Yeah, I'm shocked by the jury, to be honest. Like, 16th in the jury is so, so low, and tied on points with Denmark as well. Like, you were talking about there, you know, is it about it being a radio-friendly song? But, like, Denmark is much more of a radio-friendly song, so it's, like, tying them on the same points. I just don't know why a jury wouldn't reward this point. You know, I could have understood if it was flipped on the other side of maybe coming 16th with the televote and not, you know, resonating with them, particularly with that running order. But just it, I just another one. I just don't understand why the jury just blanked it. And we always have these countries year in, year out that there's just one country that they just completely blank you. We think they're going to really, really bank on. And this year it was just Albania for some strange reason. And I actually just don't understand why. And I guess we'll never know either.
There we have it. Albania in eighth. And actually ninth on the same amount of points, 218. Albania coming out on top in eighth due to having the higher televote. Ukraine in ninth position. Another top 10 result for Ukraine. Bird of prey. If I remember correctly, I feel like at the time of Quick Fires, Alex and I were bigger fans of the song generally. Connor, how are you feeling about that result for Ukraine, ninth?
If I'm being honest, like, I don't really understand it. Like, it also won its semi-final, and it's like, I think there was a lot of talk in particularly Eurovision week of, like, could this potentially be Ukraine's lowest result in a semi-final or potentially a shock NQ? And it did the complete opposite. It won the semi-final and got through very comfortably.
And they announced it last.
And they announced it last as well. And I know even there was talk that even the Ukrainian act themselves thought that they could have been the first ever NQ for Ukraine.
He was nearly in tears.
Yeah, like, it's on their TikTok. He's very, like, whispering, oh my God, are we going to be
so like
the
that,
first?
That just shows you that it was even feeding into their own world as well. But, you know, fair play to them. They came and did it. You know, that televote is, of course, going to be strong. And the juries, I think the juries probably ranked it overall in a decent spot, 14th. So I guess I could understand that, but you know, just the way it works out, finished ninth, and yeah, fair play to them. You know, Ukraine, the strongest country in Eurovision, you know, statistically now, with, you know, never failing to qualify, and I know you can count Luxembourg as well, but you know, Ukraine since semi-final.
Slightly more impressive.
Very impressive as well. So yeah, interesting to see what Ukraine have to do to NQ, do you know what I mean? Like, what can they send that would not make them get through to the final? I just wanted to watch, but yeah, fair play to them. Another top 10 result. What do you guys think of it? You obviously were fans of it, both of you, so.
I, like, being truthful about it, I really like this entry and I still stream it the odd time, but I don't feel it deserved top 10. Like, I wouldn't have even, like, and I'm not mad that I got top 10 because I do like it, but for me, I would have been looking more at, like, 12th to 16th. I just think there are maybe other countries I would have put into the top 10 over this. Like, big shock for me, Finland not making it in. I think Poland should have been in the top 10, you know, but it wasn't the lose Eurovision Song Contest, you know. It was the world, it was Europe's. So that's how the dice rolls. And, you know, great result for Ukraine in the bag once again. And I think as well, when you think of the meaning of the song, we chatted about it before in the podcast, like, very poignant, very relevant to Ukrainian people, and that obviously connected to a lot of people, particularly in that very strong televote, winning the semi-final, as you mentioned as well, Connor. So there's clearly still a lot of support for Ukraine and Ukrainian sound in the contest, which of course is always good to see. Anything to add there, Alex?
Yeah, I also agree. I love the song. I do play it actually quite a bit. I love their Vidbeer performance, like their original staging. For me, I would have felt warranted this result more. I think with the direction that they went in, I felt, again, same as you, Lou, maybe a little bit further down the scoreboard. But when it comes to the song, I do think, yeah, that the actual meaning behind it is so beautiful, and it definitely did connect across Europe, I'm sure, with their diaspora 100%. So it was nice to see them show love to this. And yeah, I really like the song, so I'm happy. But yeah, didn't expect this higher of a result.
10th place, Connor. Switzerland. Voyage.
Yeah, and it's really impressive considering it got 0 points on the telephone. Like,
isn't that like the largest discrepancy
ever
between jury and telephone?
History of Eurovision is
ever.
The biggest discrepancy.
214 in the jury, 0 in the televote. I, like, lads, stop the count. Like, can we just, I don't want to be tinfoil hat, but like, so many people loved this song. Mm. How did it get 0 televotes? I just obviously just didn't get enough votes. That's the answer. But like, like in my DeLulu world, like this didn't get in enough public top tens. It really shocks me. Like, and I know it's a host entry and that can be a disadvantage, definitely. And nearly winning the whole jury vote. Imagine this had won the jury vote and then got zero in the televote.
Mm.
Like, it was so close to doing that as well. What?
Connor?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just can't call it. I thought this was beautiful. Obviously, being in the arena, like, there's obviously a bias because you're in Switzerland, of course. People are going to go mad. But genuinely, like, I know my friend Luke, he watched it with you guys. He's still listening to this weeks after, and he's not really a big Eurovision fan himself. So I just don't get it at all. I really don't get it at all. And it really scared us, I think, overall with the results when it came in and that got zero. We were kind of, oh my God, Jesus, anything can happen now with what's going to happen next. So I just don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know why people didn't vote for it. I voted for this load, so I don't know what happened overall. I think it's a strange one to look at and kind of analyze and stuff going forward. But even so many people that I was talking to thought it was a beautiful entry. So I just don't know what went wrong with it. Was it the fact that it was a host entry and people were kind of put off to vote for them again? Or, I don't know, any takers?
Yeah, but I think the only maybe thing I can say on this, because I was probably definitely the least fan of this song out of the three of us, and honestly would have been very low in my list for most of the season. It was not, and it's still actually not something I listen to. I think I got on the hype train when I saw the staging, because genuinely I do think it's some of like the most brilliant staging we've seen ever on the Eurovision stage. So I think the jury points are warranted. But for me, I think the only explainable part of this not getting any love from the public comes back to the fact that it is such a muted song and feels quite, I wouldn't say frail, but just it doesn't maybe didn't have enough impact in terms of the actual song itself. And this is the kind of song that you can really only send, I think, as a host entry. Like, if you were to send this into a public only semi, I do think that would just be too risky. You couldn't do it, and it wouldn't have even qualified. So
yeah. I'd love
I completely
to know.
Disagree. Like, completely disagree.
I'd love to have seen this in a semi final.
Yeah.
But it
that would answer
0 points.
So many questions for me. Like, up against like Ireland's Emmy, up against Australia's Gojo would be like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it flabbergasts me that this got zero, genuinely. Like, and I know I'm obviously biased because I liked it so much, but like, so many locals were texting me that they loved it. Like, did people just love it and not vote? Like, what?
Came 20th in our televote. 20th out of 26. Crazy.
Is it one of those scenarios where it was so intimate? Do you remember there was a whole thing with Benjamin Gross years ago? People thought it was a music video because it was so different. It didn't
so
feel
produced.
Like a stage.
Or even
show.
Iceland 2016, Hear Them Calling. Remember, you saw no audience. People thought it was just a music video and didn't vote for it, didn't qualify. Yeah. So maybe it did have that effect. But
then, like, you look at Austria and that's so, like, produced, overly produced. Yeah. It's just obviously for some reason didn't connect. And to me, the only explainable aspect, because I thought the staging was magnificent, is just the song itself didn't have enough impact.
I don't know.
It's just one of those things that we just don't know. But it was so sad because obviously, you know yourself, Alex, the train journey from Zurich to from Basel to Zurich, it's very scenic.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
I just kept replaying it. And it was like, I was like dreaming off. I was nodding off. And then I was like, oh, I'm loving this now. It was like the soundtrack to my Sunday heading on my own little voyage. But yeah, I like you, Lou, I'm bemused. I have no idea what went wrong for this one. It's such a shame.
But it still landed in the top 10.
But at least the jury rewarded it. Like,
exactly. And as they should have. Jury like, this is exactly what they should be voting for.
Exactly.
This is like a scenario where I'm like very pro jury. I'm like, yes, let's keep the quality in the final, please. All right, everybody. So as you can imagine, this just wasn't a chat that we could rush. It wasn't a final that we could truly dissect together in one episode. So that is part one of the Eurovision What the Hell Just Happened episode dissecting Eurovision Grand Final 2025. The next part will be coming in a few days, so don't worry, keep an eye on your feeds. Make sure you're following us everywhere so you don't miss the second part of this discussion. If we haven't mentioned a country that you love yet in the final, we probably will be doing so in the next part of the episode. Make sure you catch us on Go Loud, as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, pretty much everywhere on the internet, and you won't miss the next part of the episode. And for now, all that we have to say is slán go.